I was elected by the Australian people as Prime Minister of this country to bring back a fair go for all Australians. And I have given my absolute best to do that. I've given it my absolute all.
It's with the greatest humility, resolve and enthusiasm that I sought the endorsement of my colleagues to be the Labor leader and to be the Prime Minister of this country. I have accepted that endorsement.
Hello and welcome to a special Australia Talks. In place of big ideas just for today, here on ABC Radio National, I'm Paul Barclay. Well, political history has been made today, and we want to give you the chance to have your say on today's remarkable events. After facing his party room at 9 o'clock this morning, a tearful Kevin Rudd stepped down as Prime Minister, declaring he'd given it all and was proud of his achievements. A few minutes later, Australia had its first female Prime Minister elected unopposed by the Labor caucus. So now Julia Gillard has the daunting challenge of leading government, which she admitted had lost its way, into an election that's now due within months. Can she rescue Labor's electoral hopes? What do you think? Call now on 1300 22 55 76. Remember, you can post your views online on our comments page. Just search ABC Australia Talks. And Christopher has already posted his thoughts. The fall of our elected PM in such cowardly, indecent haste was a piteous spectacle from the faceless Labor warlords. A coup d'etat, cheap and bruising, leaving many in shock, close to bringing out the tanks in a metaphorical sense. How long before the real thing? A sad time, says Christopher. Love your thoughts. But first to Canberra, where Radio National's breakfast presenter and political correspondent Fran Kelly has been watching these extraordinary events unfold. Hello, Fran.
Hello, Paul.
You've covered Australian politics for a long time. You were in Canberra today. Have you ever seen a day like this one?
No, not quite like this one. There's been a few days lately. I was down here not that long ago for when Malcolm Turnbull was toppled by his party, and that was pretty interesting too. But this is different. This is a Prime Minister who hasn't even had the chance to live out his whole first term yet, who's been dumped by the Labor Party. Labor, who treats its leaders, and particularly its Prime Ministers, traditionally, historically, quite well. And what's more, it happened in record time. It feels like everything happens in record time at the moment, Paul. Just 6 months ago, Kevin Rudd was one of the most popular Prime Ministers this country's ever had. He was at meteoric heights in the opinion polls. Suddenly, he's struggling, and now he's gone. And it happened before even most members of the Labor caucus knew what was going on. Last night, as I was ringing around trying to find out what was happening, they were glued to the television sets and talking to people like me to see if we knew more than they do, and often did, and often we did.
Yes. At his press conference last night, he vowed, in fact, to fight for the leadership. That's not how it went down this morning. What do you think changed his mind?
The numbers, I suspect. I mean, I don't know, but it must have been the numbers, because the Gillard team were very bullish this morning. They reckon they had 70-plus. The counting didn't start till after that after that challenge was launched last night. So that was about 10:15. So it was late at night when the ringing around started, and this morning the Gillard team were early on the phone to people like me saying, these are the numbers, this is how we see it. Julia's got 74 or more. Kevin Rudd, 30 if he's lucky, maybe a bit more. Because, you know, incumbency brings with it some votes. So I think the numbers were pretty stark. And we had one Kevin Rudd supporter on the program this morning, Craig Emerson. He's a fellow Queenslander, a front bencher. And really, his message was that he supports the Prime Minister, whoever it is. It didn't sound to me like a full-blooded, passionate support of Kevin Rudd, but more of the leader, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Watching Kevin Rudd's press conference live on television this morning, the emotion sometimes overwhelmed him. Here's a brief grab from that press conference.
I'm proud of the fact that the first thing we did in government was ratify the Kyoto Protocol. Also proud of the fact that we boosted the renewable energy target to 20%. I'm proud of the fact that we tried three times to get an emissions trading scheme through this parliament, although we failed.
And that was just one of the moments during the press conference where the Prime Minister, ex-Prime Minister, now struggled. It must have been, Fran, a quite emotional experience just being there. What was the gallery's reaction like?
Well, it was emotional. I was standing quite close to the former Prime Minister, and his wife, of course, Therese, was standing by his side, as were his kids. And, you know, you could tell she was just itching to move forward and put her arms around him, because he was faltering, and as he then admitted, he was blubbering, all but, you know, there were long pauses, and I just wanted to say, look, enough. Mm. Enough. You're suffering enough. You don't have to get through every thank you and every list of every achievement. But I guess this was his final moment, in a sense, and it was important for him to thank the people who'd supported him, the people who'd worked so hard for him, and his family, as always, and his electorate, because, surprisingly, he is going to recontest the seat of Griffith. That's what he's saying now. But it was emotional, and, you know, what struck me was, as Kevin Rudd gave that speech, you know, listing the long list of achievements, as he says, his achievements of the Labor government under him, it's not a bad list, but that's the problem. Mm. Several big policy announcements in the last fortnight, and they basically went nowhere in terms of media or bounce for the government, because Kevin Rudd was unable to get the message through the whole kind of mire of the mining tax. And really, as politicians on both sides have been telling me in the last 36 hours that I've been down here, they reckon that the electorate had switched off and stopped listening to Kevin Rudd. Yes. That's why this switch has occurred.
Absolutely, yes. I must admit, just watching that press conference was difficult. I almost couldn't keep my eyes on the television set at all.
It was tough, you know, it's tough.
Contrasting that, though, with Julia Gillard, there was a slight nervousness just at the beginning, I thought, of her press conference, but from then on, very calm, very confident, very composed performance, wasn't it?
Oh, it was quite a performance. I think in the vernacular you'd say she really nailed it. I agree with you, she was a little nervous at first. Why not? She's not used to being Prime Minister. But she had some killer lines out there, first and foremost amongst them, the decision that the government was going to scrap its advertising campaign for the mining tax, and she challenged the miners to meet her in that. She said, we'll open our doors if the miners open their minds. That was quite a smart strategic move, I thought, by the now Prime Minister and the new Prime Minister. She really need to made a big policy announcement today, a big resorting, if you like, or repositioning of the Labor government. She lost no time in doing it, and I think that is a good sign for Labor, that this Prime Minister is onto it. She knows what the problems are. Mm. She's not backing off them. Make no mistake about it, she is not just one of Labor's best communicators. She's their toughest performer in the Parliament. The opposition sees her as a tough, aggressive politician. Mm. And so, you know, I think she was playing that out today, but her pitch was very good. She made a couple of jokes. They were good jokes. And she does have that touch, and she often does, you know, TV game shows and things like that. She's got a very good common touch in that sense.
Yes. Speaking to Fran Kelly from Radio National's Breakfast program, you're with a special edition of Australia Talks with me, Paul Barclay, on ABC Radio National. Some of your calls very soon, 1300 22 55 76 is the number, or you can post your views on our webpage. Just search ABC Australia Talks. Harrison's just posted, right, and the execution of Turnbull was any better or nicer? Of course not, but it had to be done due to his incompetence, and likewise, the change of leadership from Rudd to Gillard was due to Rudd's incompetence. Harrison there with some hard words. Fran, this was on the surface an incredibly seamless transition, relatively, ruthless, but relatively blood-free, but is there still a risk that Julia Gillard will be seen by the public as disloyal, as a political assassin, which is how the opposition's now trying to paint her?
Oh, look, of course there is a risk, and some people will regard her as that. Some, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Labor supporters never think you should pull down a leader. And there's people in Queensland, I think, who, you know, what Queenslanders are, they love their own, and they will, I think, you know, she could very well take a bit of a hit in the vote in Queensland, as if they haven't got trouble enough there as it is, simply by the fact that she has, you know, politically assassinate, if you want to use that terminology, a Queenslander. So I think that could be a problem for her. The other problem is that this kind of move from Labor could be seen as a bit desperate, a bit of a panic move, and the electorate is not silly. It'll know that. It'll wake up to that and think, oi, oi, what's going on? Mm. The job really is ahead of her. I would think all this talk about, yes, this was a brutal manoeuvre, no doubt about it, and ruthless. And there's been some criticism that the opposition is ramping up about her being, you know, a factional puppet. The factional bosses have installed her. Well, the only question mark I'll put over that is that, you know, traditionally there are senior party elders who do this job when the time has come. They come down and it is their job to tap the leader on the shoulder and say, right, it's not working, you've got to go. Mm. In the past, it might have been a national secretary, a national president, a former prime minister, an elder, you know, a senior within the cabinet, maybe in this current cabinet, someone of the ilk of John Faulkner. Now, perhaps the factional leaders who've done this are that kind of embodiment in the modern Labor Party. Just as in the modern Liberal Party, it's no longer the Tony Staleys of the world that do it. It doesn't happen like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that Labor is so factionalised these days. Of course, it's all about self-improvement, let's put it that way.
indeed. In fact, it's all about winning the next election. That's the single thing that it's about.
Let's not be naive about this. It's all about winning. That's why the caucus voted to change. But within that, there is no doubt that some of those involved in this manoeuvre are looking at their own interests for promotion and their own ambitions. Their positions and their party, their power bases will be strengthened because they managed to pull off this coup, and certainly they'll be strengthened if it turns out to be, you know, sort of a miracle manoeuvre and Labor surges forward and ultimately wins government. So there's there is that positioning going on. We should not be naive or blind to that.
Absolutely. Fran, great to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Fran Kelly from Radio National's Breakfast. Make sure you tune in from 6 tomorrow morning. She'll be following up in forensic detail the fallout from today's momentous events. You're with Australia Talks with me, Paul Barclay. Well, what do you think? Will Julia Gillard make a good Prime Minister? Will she save the government's bacon? They were looking, still are, according to the most recent polls, looking very shaky. Or will she harm their chances? Do you feel sorry for Kevin Rudd? Call in with your thoughts, 1300 22 55 76. Silver has posted, watch this space. We finally have an articulate, smart and highly intelligent woman with compassion and vision to steer this ship. Overdue and so welcome. Let's go to David in Tenterfield now. Hi, David.
Hi, Paul. Welcome from Tenterfield, the birthplace of a nation. Bit appropriate on a day like today.
On a historic day like today, indeed. So what do you make of it, David?
Paul, I think it's a very sad day for Australian democracy. I think Australians should open their eyes and have a really good look, and they will see that the policy agenda in Canberra is no longer being driven by what they need. It's being driven by the media barons, one of whom, Murdoch's not even an Australian, he's an American, and the big money miners. And I think that, for every Australian, is a real wake-up call, and I think that's a very, very sad day when our Prime Minister can't get his message out through the media muzzle.
OK. Thanks, David. Let's go to Julian in Melbourne. Hello, Julian.
G'day. I think David Marr's quarterly essay may have contributed to this outcome. If Gillard's seen as far left and Abbott's seen as far right, the electorate won't like either. Mm. I'm sick of tired of work choices bogeyman that's dead, and I wonder when the factions are going to call in their favour.
Okay, thanks, Julian, and to Matthew in Hobart. Matthew, do you think Julia Gillard will make a good Prime Minister?
Look, I actually do think she'll make a good Prime Minister. I think probably the main reason I do think that is that she is a real alternative from what the Liberals have put up in the past and will put up in the future. Kevin was a great stopgap measure, and I do feel sorry for him, who can't. Mm. But the situation is that somebody such as Kevin, who every Sunday goes along and talks to the big man in the sky, doesn't represent the average Labor progressive person today who has gone far beyond that kind of mindset. I think Julia is a fresh face. Mm. She's been here for 12 years, but that fresh face is going to basically say what we need in Australia is two credible alternatives, a 19th century alternative, which is what the Conservatives are always going to be giving us.
Okay, I'll leave it there, Matthew. Thanks for your call. I want to find out from swinging voters how you feel, those people who are uncommitted, if you voted for both parties over the years. What do you think of Julia Gillard? Elizabeth in Sydney. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yes, hi, dear. I've seen this coming for quite a while.
Have you?
I have seen it, yes. Swinging voter. I very much admire this lady because you know why? She took some of the most nastiest stuff said to a woman in Parliament when she was put down for being a single woman without children.
Mm.
That was a real low act, and it still absolutely delights me that the person, if they're still there in the Parliament, are now looking at the Prime Minister of Australia, and I'm now about to put on one of the great Welsh male choirs and celebrate not only this lady, but also that those wonderful parents that came to this country and gave us this lady.
Yes, well, I think that's a good historic point you've picked up on there. Not just the first female Prime Minister in Australia, but the first Prime Minister born in Wales in Australia. But who exactly is Julia Gillard? We obviously know a bit about her from her time as Deputy Prime Minister and Cabinet Minister, but what can we expect from the new Prime Minister? Joining us now is a fellow Victorian, a former Premier of the state, and a friend of Julia Gillard's. Welcome to the program, to Steve Brax.
Paul, good to be with you tonight.
You've had your own considerable experience in politics, so you'll know it's pretty risky, isn't it, for a government to kill off PM and install a new one just months from an election?
It's certainly unusual, but the circumstances, I think, required a change. Kevin Rudd, it was only 2.5 years ago that he won an historic election against John Howard, a very successful long-term Prime Minister. And Kevin Rudd was very good, particularly in the early periods, in delivering on the agenda that he said he would pursue. But clearly, a lot has gone wrong since. A lot of the programs that have been implemented haven't been implemented effectively. Mm. The message hasn't got through. The program, partly, one of the most significant parts of the emissions trading scheme, has been dumped. And I think this is a recognition that Labor has lost its way federally.
Yes.
That Julia Gillard is probably the best person to take us forward. This has only been done for one reason, not to have a go at the Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, of course not. It's been done because, rightly or wrongly, the Labor members of Parliament believe that she is the best prospect of winning in the next election and retaining a Labor government. That's the only
That's
reason
right.
it's been done.
They'd
and
effectively,
I would concur with that assessment.
They'd effectively conceded that they would have lost the upcoming election under Kevin Rudd. They've invested their faith in Julia Gillard. As you say, they're saying that they think she can win. They've taken a huge risk as a result. Would she be feeling the pressure right now?
Oh, of course. No one could not do anything else but feel the pressure. But I have known Julia for a long time, so is my wife Terry, and we're friends of Julia. We've seen her progress through all sorts of Victorian Labor organisational efforts, and look, she is very good, she's very robust, she's very capable. The good thing about Julia Gillard is what you see is what you get. Mm. It's not confected. What you're seeing is the real Julia Gillard.
Yes.
Same person as if you invited her around for dinner at night is the same person you will see in a press conference.
And what kind of person
and
is that, Steve Brax?
I think that's a great advantage. That's a person that is intelligent, engaged, inclusive and warm. Now, some people would say that she's cold and calculating. That's actually not true. She's very warm. She's very compassionate. She has a burning desire to pursue fairness in everything she does because of her background and her commitment to the Labor Party, and she's got her chance to do it. And I suspect you'll see a very good Labor Prime Minister in Julia Gillard, and one which will do what I think is required to be done, and that's work with the Cabinet in a similar way as the Hawke government worked with his Cabinet.
Yeah, so you think that's what we'll see, a more consultative, a more inclusive style, looking for consensus on issues like, as she mentioned today, putting a price on carbon. That's more her approach.
I've got no doubt that we will see a return to the Westminster system of a true cabinet government, consulting with your cabinet ministers, getting the best you can out of the advice from them and making a call and then implementing. If you like, the role, there's two models of leadership at a state or federal level. One is that you can be the chairman of the board and the chief executive, or you can be the chairman of the board and allow other people to undertake their work and intervene where there's failure, but otherwise commission and allow them to pursue it. And I think she'll be the former.
Mm.
And much more in the style of the Hawke government, which was one of the most successful ones we've had in the country. I like Kevin Rudd, but I think some of his management flaws were apparent by the end. He wanted to be not only the chairman, he wanted to be the chief executive, and he wanted to operationally deliver the program as well. And you can't do that.
Just a final quick one. You're a friend. You're close to her. Any advice that you'd offer her on this day as she takes on this daunting job?
Paul, yes. It's the advice I gave to myself, and it's the advice that my friends gave to me. I know it sounds a bit trite, but be yourself. Don't try and be someone you're not. And I think if she becomes herself, that is, those attributes we see now are reinforced in everything she does. I think people will see the real Julia Gillard, and they'll come to like her, and they'll like what she's going to deliver. Mm. She will argue a very good case, and I think she'll be a very, very good Labor Prime Minister.
Steve Rex, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. All the best.
Former Premier of Victoria and friend of the new Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, Steve Brax, you're on Australia Talks. I'll take some calls now. Do you think Julia Gillard will make a better Prime Minister than Kevin Rudd, a more consultative, consensus-oriented Prime Minister, as Steve Brax has suggested? Call now on 1300 22 55 76. Perhaps you're a Conservative voter. Wouldn't mind your thoughts on this. Will she be a more difficult adversary for Tony Abbott? Give us a call or post your thoughts online at abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks. Steve is on the blower from Yandana. Hi, Steve.
Yandina.
G'day, anyway.
How you going, Paul?
I'm very well.
Yeah, and in response to your last few questions there, during your little blurb, yes, yes and yes, and I completely agree with Steve Braxton, every word that he said, although I wasn't there when he was talking person to person with Julia. But yeah, she'll be our next Prime Minister, not a problem.
Well, she already
is. She knows how to take it up to Tony Abbott.
She already is our next Prime Minister, but I think you're suggesting she will also be re-elected. Thanks for your call, or elected, I should say. Tim from Benalla. G'day, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Look, I'd just like to say that, you know, the events of today, they're historic. This is something that's never happened in Australia really before. But the issues at hand, and I agree with Fran Kelly, and it's about winning the next election. That's what this is all about. The Labor Party, at the end of the day, is a team. They realised that they had problems. They had to make changes, and they've done that. And I tell you what, I have to give Kevin Rudd congratulations on the dignity and grace of his behaviour today. Mm.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Patricia has posted in saying that Kevin Rudd was magnificent in defeat. Ron has posted, personally, I don't like him as PM, but you had to feel for the guy today. Brian, Rudd out, Gillard in, same horse, different jockey. Let's go to Dominic in Sydney. G'day, Dominic.
Yes, Paul.
Hi there.
Yeah, good evening.
G'day.
Let me mix you a colourful metaphor just before I get the heads up. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I think Kevin Rudd was enjoying stratospheric polling.
Mm.
And I think he's a bit of a boiling frog because he was bathing in the jacuzzi of popularity. And the message he had to sell should have sold itself in an educated Western community. And as for Julia Gillard's potential, I mean, Kevin Judd was an actual absolute political genius, you know, who did something very important for our future and the survival of the planet. And I think perhaps Julia Gillard, I'm not doing any favours saying this,
yeah,
she could be the Leonardo da Vinci, a millennial genius, and the cringe is very alive and well in the world.
Dishing out the compliments today, Dominic. Thanks for your call. 1300 22 55 76. Some brickbats are also welcome, not just bouquets. Whatever your thoughts, give us a call on 1300 22 55 76. Let's go to Ian in Queensland. Whereabouts in Queensland, Ian?
I'm in Bundaberg.
Yeah, well, welcome to Australia Talks. What do you think about Julia Gillard being elevated to Prime Minister?
Well, I think, unfortunately, I think she'll do an excellent job, and I think she's... I agree with everything that Steve Brax and the others have spoken about. She's an intelligent, and look, I've seen her perform in the House on television lots of times, and she just chews them up and spits them out.
Mm.
But I don't think Kevin Rudd was given a fair go. I agreed with the first caller. The press barons, really, press barons, and the reporters. I'm really disgusted with the reporters. They get Tony Abbott, you know, you get your mad muck along to a press conference, and they ask, what's his policy? They say, he says, oh, well, mate, we'll tell you later. And then the press say, well, while you're here, drop a bucket on the government. Kevin Rudd really never got a fair go.
Okay, thanks, Ian.
And he's a thoroughly decent man, in my view,
yep.
Kevin Rudd, a thoroughly decent individual, and... I think I'm very pleased he's going to stay in the parliament.
Yeah, a surprise, actually. I think we were all surprised when we heard that. And questions now about whether he'll be back on the front bench. In fact, thanks, Ian. JC from Sydney. G'day.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hi.
Hi there. Now,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well. Your thoughts on Julia Gillard going up and Kevin Rudd going out?
Well, I don't really want to talk about Julia Gillard because I'm sure she will be a good leader, you know, the way she talks and ever. But I think there's something wrong with this country, the way most of the media and the popular, like your listeners, the commenting about the camera, it's just a piece of garbage. It's gonna, you just go, this is a guy, save the country. I initially came from the U.S., and I know how bad things was during the GFC, and this country hasn't been through that.
And you think?
And I told everyone how lucky I am, and you know, without Kevin Rudd, this thing won't happen.
Okay.
And people forget so soon.
Thanks, JC.
I'm going to vote for Labour this year.
Yep.
And you know what? No, I'm sick of this back. Knifing people.
Okay, thanks, JC. In Sydney, 1300 22 55 76. We've freed up some lines for you, so give us a call right now if you'd like to give us your views on the events of today. Julia Gillard becoming Australia's first ever female Prime Minister. Can she lead Labor to victory? What does it mean for the chances of Tony Abbott? Or post your thoughts online, abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks. As you can tell, reading out your posts as we progress through the discussion today. It has been, as Fran mentioned earlier, a remarkably quick fall from grace for Kevin Rudd. How did he go from hero to zero, as some of the headlines are calling it today? Well, joining us now, John Warner, Professor of Public Administration at the Australian and New Zealand School of Government at the ANU, and David Briggs from Galaxy Research, where he's the Chief Executive. John Warner, what did Kevin Rudd do wrong?
Good evening, Paul. Well, I think it would largely boil down to style. I mean, it's got to be remembered that he was respected in caucus, but didn't have a lot of friends and didn't have a lot of political support. And he won that respect by his policy capacities in opposition, being across things, being an effective spokesperson. Once he got into government, we had a long honeymoon and then lots of reviews, and then his style of leading started to sort of get in the way. You know, his centralism, his control, his dictatorial, his kitchen cabinet, his going through just his own office, the spin, the overdrive, the overpromising. You get into a taxi driver and, you know, you say, how's things going? And they go, oh, you know, that guy doesn't deliver. You know, it was the image, whether you know, and they could always give you four or five things that he hadn't done. You know,
yes.
Like people remembering the things he hadn't done.
There was also commentary, wasn't there, pinpointing precisely the turning point as being the decision to put off the emissions trading scheme, having once described, you know, climate change as the great moral challenge of our times, and
that's
then
right.
Backing away. Do you think that was, in fact, the turning point for him?
I think that was a big point, but I think he'd already disappointed people with things like grocery watch, fuel watch. You know, these were things that he really committed to in opposition. He came in and nothing worked. You know, computers on the desks in high schools, well, you know, there's still a lot that don't have them. So he disappointed that the ETS one then was the sort of the one that really pricked the bubble. And if you look at the more detailed polling, it's the younger people, you know, the environmentally conscious people who he's lost in droves. He's 10-11% down in that group from the attraction of that group in the 2007 election.
Yes. We never really got to know him. I suppose that's the irony. He's such an elusive character, yet for a short period of time, not that long ago, he ranked as the most popular Australian Prime Minister ever in the polls. Now, you also watched him, John, when he was working for Wayne Goss in Queensland. He was known back then as Dr. Death. Was there always a style problem with Kevin Rudd?
He's always been a bit enigmatic and a bit cold. He's got close circles of friends, but he's relatively cold in a sort of professional sense. He was called Dr. Death because he wanted to take on the public service. His strong view that you needed to drive and push and really squeeze things out of the public service. And the Queensland Public Service were quite receptive to a change of government in 89, but by the time 1991, there was quite a large sections of them who were striking against the government and basically on their management and leadership of the public service. And there is parts of the Commonwealth Public Service that would share that view too, not across the board, but there's parts of the Commonwealth Public Service who think they've been blitzed a bit and, yeah. And not really respected, not really taken in, not using their expertise. But the answers always come out of the Prime Minister's office and they feel a bit left out, not consulted.
Things are very busy on the Australia Talks message board at the moment. Andrew says, not so fast, political obit writers. Don't forget Bob Menzies in 1941. Rudd will now have his time in the wilderness and may well become the better future second-time PM for it. There's a prediction. Rosalind, I was saddened to see the Rudd bot go, as he did, but it's a jungle in Canberra. Good on Rudd for turning up at question time. I didn't think he had it in him. Let me bring David Briggs from Galaxy Research into the discussion. Hi, David.
G'day, Paul.
David, what did the polling over the last few years tell us about the issues that ultimately undid the Prime Minister?
Well, I think that following his appointment as leader of Labor and when he was in opposition, his attraction to the voters was quite dramatic, and he rapidly became the most popular, well, in those days, better PM, even though he was in opposition at the time. He enjoyed a honeymoon period that lasted for a couple of years. And it was only, well, in November last year, we were polling that was showing that Labor was still riding high in the polls.
Mm.
In February, we found that their primary support in a Queensland poll had dropped 3 percentage points, and that was on the backflip on the ETS.
So that was a crucial marker.
That's right, I believe, because until November 2009, he still seemed Teflon coated, and nothing that the opposition were really throwing at him was having any impact whatsoever. Then from February, we've gone another 4 months. Our last poll in the Courier Mail was published at the beginning of June. Primary support for Labor in Queensland down to 35%.
Mm.
And that was because the resources super tax issue was just not going away. It was a considerable negative for the government. And as a consequence, they've taken two major hits. And it seems to have undermined, to a certain extent, voter confidence in Labor. But more tellingly, confidence in the caucus.
Of course, we'll never know now whether or not Kevin Rudd could have lifted himself over the line for another victory. But have you ever seen a fall from grace like this in your time opinion polling?
The fall from grace is certainly dramatic. He's gone from peacock to feather duster in really 6 months. But it's not to say that he couldn't come back from here. The issue is, at the moment, while Labor vote in the polls is certainly down, the coalition support is going nowhere at the moment. They're only achieving the same level of support that we saw in 2007. The big rise is clearly in the Green vote. Now, it will depend very much so on where those Green preferences end up when we go to the polling booths.
Mm.
But it is certainly not a terminal position, and certainly the coalition under John Howard was in similar positions during his reign.
Now, what about Julia Gillard? Can she beat Tony Abbott and the Liberal National Party?
Well, look, it's certainly going to be interesting times. I thought that late last year when Tony Abbott became leader of the coalition, I thought, well, at least this is going to make the next election more interesting. And it certainly has made it a contest. Given that Labor would still be strong favourites to win the election, given that they do have incumbency and the first-term governments are relatively rare. It all depends on the way, and I mean, you've been listening to people all day, Paul. It all depends on whether the actions of today are seen as disunity or whether it's seen as a way of rejuvenating the party.
Mm.
And I think that my feeling from what I've been hearing is that perhaps it is a rejuvenation and that Julia Gillard will enjoy a honeymoon period in the first few weeks of office, but we'll know when the polls start rolling in.
And if you were giving advice to the government, bearing in mind the likely honeymoon period, would you be suggesting that they go to an election earlier rather than later?
No, I think that an early run to an election would be treated with some cynicism among the electorate. I think that it would only be fair for Julia Gillard to make herself known to voters so that they have an idea of what she is, what she stands for. We've heard from Steve Brax today that he says that she is a charmer and that she is what she is, and that this should be a strong selling point for Labour. So they need to make her known to the voters, but also the issues of the resources super tax really just need to be resolved as quickly as possible, because this is hurting Labour.
Yep. You're with Australia Talks. More from David Briggs from Galaxy Research and John Warner from the ANU very soon. 1300 22 55 76 the number, or you can post your thoughts on our comments page. Ken posts, today I am ashamed to be an Australian. Steve's pointed out, Gillard is not the first overseas-born Prime Minister. Billy Hughes was born in London, but nobody will want to remember him. Correct, but not Wales, although he was born to Welsh parents, I think. Another online post, Rudd was brought down because of a disinformation campaign about the resources super profits tax from the mining industry. Let's go to Tom in Mount Tambourine. Tom, what do you think of Julia Gillard?
I think it's fantastic, Paul. But I'd like to ask you, do you think Prime Minister's time will be the new meaning for PMT now?
I think I'll just leave that one go without comment, Tom. Thanks. Let's go to Patrick from Narre Warren, I think. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think the change of leadership's going to achieve, Patrick?
Well, I actually agree with the guy earlier that said, you know, same horse, different jockey.
Mm.
Except I kind of think they're dealing with a bit of a lame horse.
So it's the horse that's the problem?
It's the horse that's the problem. I mean, I've never been a big backer of the Liberal Party, but as far as policies and stuff like that go, but I mean, at least they didn't run Australia into the ground financially like the Labor Party seem to do every time they get to office.
That's what you think the weakness is for Labor, that in your view their economic credentials are not sound?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, as soon as they get into office, all they seem to do is run the country as far into debt as they possibly can.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. Julianne in Sydney. Hello, Julianne.
Hi, I'm here.
You're a Labor voter. What do you think about the Prime Ministership changing hands today?
Well, I think this clean change shows Labor's determination to carry through its full and very extensive policy platform. I think it's a change of leader, not a change of basic political beliefs. I think Rudd has performed very well and huge international pressure. I'm really sorry to see him go.
Mm.
But I think he was the perfect link from Howard. And really now I think Labor is simply on fast forward.
Yes.
Fast forward. After 11 years of Howard's Liberal... Howard's Liberal negative conservatism.
It's not been...
And I'm also proud to have a female Prime Minister.
Thanks, Julianne. You're not the only one getting emotional as a result of the events of today. Thanks for your call. Wayne in Coolangatta. Hello, Wayne.
G'day.
What do you make of it, Wayne?
Well, I think Rudd failed. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, if you've got a report card with 14 items, he gets about 3 ticks. But don't forget that Gillard was part of the cabinet, you know, the Gang of Four, as they call him. But look, you know, Shakespeare would have had a field day. The Knight of the Long Knives, the Brutus thing. I mean, she did say many, many times, I'll never run against Kevin. But, you know, a friend of mine, very perceptive, would watch on television and he could see that she was licking her chops.
Just as you've said that, Wayne, I've got an online post that's come through that says just this. At least Kevin's last words as Prime Minister were gracious, even if he was betrayed by our own Australian Brutus. Thanks, Wayne. I'll leave it there. Go to James in Hobart, who wants to make some comparisons with the first female New Zealand Prime Minister, I think. Hello, James.
Good evening. Yes, New Zealanders like to sometimes think they're slightly ahead of us, and when they do that, there's some things they can quote it, like the fact that they gave women the vote well before Australia. They had the first, their first female Governor General well before us. Their first female leader of a national political party well before us. And in 1997. Jenny Shipley became the first female Prime Minister of the country. And there's similarities aplenty with the situation here in the last 24 hours.
Yep. Thanks, James, in Hobart. Just returning to John Warner and David Briggs. John, do you agree that Kevin Rudd had reached the point of no return in terms of being an electoral liability? And do you think that this was the change that Labor had to take, the risk it had to take to save its political skin?
No, I don't. I think the Labor factions got spooked. I think his support structures was always vulnerable with the sort of breakaway right factions and the left factions, and he really didn't have much factional support himself at all to deliver. And basically they've withdrawn, both sides, the left and the right factions, have withdrawn the support for him. But, you know, as of Tuesday, Wednesday, he was still leading Labour with a two-party preferred majority across the country, but the seat polling was showing that the voters in particular seats out of Sydney, some Queensland seats, were disappearing. And caucus members on vulnerable seats, and there's about 20-some of them on where only a swing of 4-5% is required, they were getting quite spooked. Penrith, I think, spooked them. The Crosby Texter research that was showing that Rudd was the problem, not the policies, spooked them. Mm. And Rudd was perceived as not really handling Abbott well. But I don't think it was irreversible. And I think if Labor would have campaigned strongly under Rudd, they probably could have won. I think Labor is taking a huge risk at this point in time, so close to an election.
Mm,
and they've never done this before, brought down one of their own leaders before they've faced a re-election.
Yes. 1300, 22, 55, 76. I might be able to squeeze one or two calls in. Liz has just written to us. Why do you say everyone is surprised that Kevin Rudd will run for re-election? I'm not. Why shouldn't he run? Wasn't suggesting he shouldn't, but I think many observers nonetheless surprised. John Warner, at a state level, if we can look at women being handed the leadership of political parties, with the one exception of Queensland's Anna Bligh, it's really been the case that women have got to the top job really only when all hope is lost. Is there any sense that this is the boys giving the hospital pass to Julia Gillard?
I don't think the parallels are quite the same. I mean, the Commonwealth will end up with a small amount of debt and things like that, but it's nowhere near the kind of problems that that Western Australia and Victoria had. So it's not quite the same scenario. I think Julia Gillard has won the factional support because of her combative nature, her on-messageness, her tough character, her ability to sort of hand it back. It's not that Rudd's perceived as weak in politics. It's that Gillard is perceived as a change, a difference, something that can kind of be a circuit breaker.
Hmm.
And that's what they're hoping for now, that they'll be a, you know, Labor was thinking, say, 8, 9, 10 months ago that they'd cruise to an election and probably end up with an increased majority. And that's the position they'd like to get back to.
David Briggs, is it harder for Julia Gillard to win because she's a woman?
Oh, no, I don't think so. And in fact, I think that sort of point of difference will work very much in her favour. Certainly coming into the next election, we've got two very different politicians now in Abbott and Gillard, two conviction politicians. And so I see no problem in Julia being female sort of standing in the way of anything.
We keep hearing Tony Abbott has a problem with women, according to the polls. I'm not sure whether the polls bear that out. But what about women and Julia Gillard? Do women like Julia Gillard?
Well, I don't know. We haven't looked into that specifically. Mm. But what we do know is that even on the eve of the leadership spill, general voters were still favouring Kevin Rudd to lead the Labor Party. And amongst Labor supporters, overwhelmingly, there was more support for Kevin Rudd as leader of the Labor. So I'm not sure about what the women of Australia are going to make of this, but certainly among Labor voters, up until yesterday, there was a sentiment that Kevin Rudd was the best person to be leading the party.
Mm. Yes, I'm going to take some more calls. Not sure whether I'll get back to you, but hang on nonetheless. Let's go to Betty in Queensland. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
I can very well, Betty.
Oh, I'm along my way. I'm an 85-year-old Labor voter, and I can't understand when people say, you know, they didn't. Oh, I don't. You know, we didn't know Kevin Rudd. You know, I mean, he wrote, you know, those marvelous articles that he wrote in the Monthly that showed what he believed, his convictions, the story of his childhood. You know, he was even so proud of his convict ancestry and linked this up to where Australia and Australians could go.
Mm.
I saw him as he was such an honest, decent man of conviction and compassion to me.
You're sad to see him go?
Beg your pardon?
You're sad to see him go, are you, Betty?
I am just devastated. And I was talking to my granddaughter of 30 years old on the phone now, and she and her partner are just, they're not really political, but they are just disgusted by what the Labor Party, by what these people have done. You know, they had a biased media. People just deserted Kevin Rudd like rats from a sinking ship.
Mm.
I don't see how I can vote Labor again. I couldn't vote for, you know, the other side, but I'll just vote informal.
Okay, thanks, Betty.
Yes. Can I just say something else?
Just quickly, Betty,
but,
please.
You know, the media has been so biased, led by the Murdoch press and the ABC, and the mining magnates, it looks like they really run the country after all, but I'm just delighted that Kevin Rudd is still sitting there and is going to stand again for Griffith, and
okay,
he will be back one day.
Going to leave it there, Betty. Thanks for your call. You're not the only person to get stuck into the media. Marilyn from South Australia, I don't think's liking what's happened today. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello, I second everything Betty said. I think the negative, I mean, you know, all this ranting about the schools program. Did any of you go to a school and see the beautiful buildings that are being built? I've asked dozens of journalists and I've had no from all of them. Do any of you know and understand that this disgusting refugee policy we've got is all Julia Gillard's?
Okay, thanks, Marilyn, in South Australia. Graham has posted, I'd like to congratulate the Labor backbenchers for staying awake in question time today. There were some extremely sagging eyelids. It's tough getting back to sleep when the New South Wales Right rings you at 3 a.m. in the morning. Donna, as much as it is fantastic having a female PM and someone like Julia Gillard, unless there are changes to policy and strong action on climate change, I will vote Green. Let's go to Joe on the far south coast of New South Wales. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
You want to see something done on the ETS, Joe?
Yes, I certainly do, but not that ETS that they put forward.
Okay.
I think that Kevin Rudd actually was doing a great job up until then. At that point, he really browned that down to a point where it was basically useless. And then when he backflipped, it sort of basically said he's not interested in climate change. So that was the one thing. I think he was actually destroyed by the mining lobby. And I do agree with the lady who said, you know, who gave them the right to run the country.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I'm going to quickly go to Rebecca. You'll need to be quick, Rebecca, in the Blue Mountains, who I think, Rebecca, you voted for Kevin Rudd.
Absolutely. And I just would like to express my disappointment. I totally believed that I was living in a democratic society, and clearly that is just not the way. And I'm very, very sad about the whole thing. And you know what? The education revolution. What about all of those dishonest people that exploited the system? What about that? Where's their media focus? They're the ones who ripped off the school. What a great, fantastic program. I don't understand. And these people with the insulation, they ripped off that program too. Like, it's people.
Yep,
what's wrong with people?
I can hear your passion. Good on you, Rebecca. Thanks to Rebecca on the Blue Mountains, our final caller. I do encourage you to keep this conversation going. It's the talking point of the moment. There is no doubt about that. Head to abc.net.au/rn/AustraliaTalks and continue to express your views on the fact that Julia Gillard's now Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd isn't. What do you think about that? Love to read your responses. While you're there, you can download a copy of any recent Australia Talks, including this one, and plenty of additional information as well. Thanks to your guests for tonight, John Warner from the Australian National University, where he's Professor of Public Administration at the Australian New Zealand School of Government, and David Briggs, who's the Chief Executive of Galaxy Research. Big Ideas will be back. You can be sure of that at the usual time next week. Tomorrow at this time, it's Peter Mayers in the National Interest. I should also thank the team, the hard-working team, who've worked a day longer under hard conditions. Karen Zivanovits, also executive producer Melanie Christensen, and also Peter McMurray. And thanks also to technical assistance from Peter Goff. Stick around for Late Night Live with Philip Adams coming up after 10 tonight. I'll see you later.
And having said all that, folks, we've got a zip.
Hi,
Hi there, Monica Attard here, and if you missed Sunday Profile on the weekend, all you need to do is go to our website to hear Lieutenant General Ken Gillespie, the Chief of Army, otherwise affectionately known as CA. He talks about how he leads an army when morale takes a hit, as it did with the recent deaths of sappers Moreland and Smith. Just go to our website, abc.net.au/Sunday Profile.